That's as our buddy Charles Barkley was on a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to expose you, if you will, to a quote from Charles in a few seconds about that work ethic thing we talked about in our last episode with Luke Jensen. Luke, again, thanks for joining us. Before we tie up this social thing, tell us who's dating who on the tennis circuit. I mean, I find it really interesting. Kim Clijsters was dating Roddick for a while, right?
No. That was Maria Sharapova. That was the big rumor out there.
I'm confused here. It's hard to keep up.
It's very hard to keep up. One of the things that you'll see in Hollywood is movie stars date movie stars because you're on the same film set. You spend a lot of time, and you know the pressures. The same thing in professional tennis. We don't run the same circles because they have their tour, we have ours, but we still cross over in the endorsement game, at the majors, at most of the big tournaments. And so what happens is you have a bond with somebody that understands that you have to get up at 5:30 in the morning and run sprints. They probably run it with you. They understand that you have to go out for a month and play on the tour. It's tough to have a relationship when someone doesn't understand that you get off the road and they want to go out and socialize, and you're beat up and you just want to hang back and watch SportsCenter. And a lot of girls don't understand why we want to watch sports.
And we talked about it with Steffi Graf and why her relationship with Andre Agassi has been such a fruitful one for both of them, and why he seems to have calmed down and brought out this fantastic side. And people now call for him to be the true commissioner of tennis in his future. What about you? What kind of relationships did you have with other players on the circuit?
I had some really good relationships. I really enjoyed trying to... I chased Gabby Sabatini around, that beautiful girl from Argentina. Number of years, U.S.
Argentina.
Champion. Just fantastic. I probably learned my tennis. I focused my very best on my opponent when I hit with Chris Everett when I was just 17, 18 years old, and I was her hitting partner. That was one of the greatest experiences of my life. So, you know, she wore such great outfits, and just she was so hot. And it was easy for me to focus on the tennis court.
I did an exhibition with her and Martina Navratilova back in about 88, and I did one with Agassi in 89 during the season, and I have to say I had a huge crush on Chris Everett. And speaking of her, didn't she date Jimmy Connors for a while back in the day?
She was engaged to Jimmy Connors, absolutely, yeah. And then she ended up marrying another tennis player, John Lloyd, from England, who was a top 20 player in the world. So, you know, once again, the tennis game, you start at a young age, you know these players for a very long time. So it's a natural transition.
And speaking of Connors, he has had a tremendous impact on Andy Roddick, who lost his last two matches this past week. Speaking of Argentina, Nalbandian, right? He's from Argentina, and then he lost a very close match to the big man Federer 2 days earlier.
Yeah, the biggest thing there, Connors has the guy moving. He's got his feet going, and mentally, he's not psyched out from Federer. Connors was really a Wolverine in the sense that he loved the fight. He loved the battle. And I think Andy Roddick is starting to enjoy the process of getting into somebody's grill and going after him. He's got the biggest serve in the history of the game, and he had three match points to knock off Roger Federer. He's got a really bad head-to-head against him. I think it's 11-1 in favor of Roger Federer. But you know what? You got match points. You got a big game. You're getting closer. And come this Australian Open at the end of January, 2007, it may be Roddick.
We had Marv Levy on the show talking about Jim Kelly and now in his role as a general manager about simplifying the way a team approaches and attacks the game, and B, about character, that talent without character will lose. Here's what Marv Levy had to say in a football context about simplifying how you coach your players. I want your comment on it.
Simplify, and you will do better. I think coaches are carried away with, look at how big my playbook is. Teach what players can learn, very important.
What do you think about that, Luke Jensen?
Well, it goes back to any sport, any business, execution. If you have people with the right amount of motivation, enthusiasm, and they look to simplify things. I go back to Super Bowl I, you think about the Lombardi sweep, and you see great tapes of Lombardi working on that sweep. Everybody knew it was coming, man on a man, hat on a hat, and you get it done. Tennis, everyone's pretty much the same, mentally, physically, how they hit the ball, but the best players mentally are the ones that are tougher, that do keep it simple. Practice, just like how you play in a match, with intensity, and you will win that trophy.
So now, as the new coach at Syracuse, the women's team there, I've read the Inner Game of Tennis. It really convinced me that simplifying, making sure that you focus on the one thing that really pulls everything together, is the key. And so many coaches in tennis, in golf, will have Gary McCord joining us in a few minutes to talk about the same thing. They overcoach, don't they?
Well, there's no doubt. The biggest problem in American tennis, people say it's their attitude and stuff. Well, it's part of it, but we are overcoached. I mean, one player goes to me, another player goes to you, and we all have good information, but they overthink things. I want to take a good, solid player, give them the right fundamentals, and how many shots are you willing to hit? If you're hitting more balls correctly than your opponent, you'll be prepared to succeed. To me, it comes down to how many balls you want to hit, how much time you want to spend on the practice court, and how intense. Work on things you can control, your attitude and your fitness, and no matter what, you'll be prepared to win.
We talked to Charles Barkley, Luke, about what you said a month ago. We asked you about work ethic and why in tennis, in soccer, in basketball, in baseball, around the world, we're getting our rear ends kicked. And here's what he had to say, because you were saying it's about work ethic.
Has become so astronomical that, you know, in my day, you have to work hard to get a big contract after big contract. Now, you get a good contract coming in, and then your next one is just through the roof. So I think that's probably the biggest problem, the money. And then, this is not a criticism of ESPN. I love ESPN. But they have made every guy, he has a good week, they call him a superstar. There's a good month, they call him a superstar. If they have a good year, they call him a superstar. I think in my time, in my day back in the 80s and 90s, I think I had made like 5 all-star teams before people even mentioned my name as a superstar.
That's Charles Barkley. And Luke, the culture, the big event culture Bob Costas talked about last week, that baseball may be losing out to popularity, maybe tennis too, because we have such a big event culture. People want it. They want it right now. And so the athletes growing up with work ethic, they think that if they win one tournament, they're a superstar. How do you overcome that today?
I think it's tough. I mean, one great example, the Williams sisters dominated the game of tennis. Just brilliant in every single Grand Slam final for a couple of years. But in sports and in business, you're either getting better or you're getting worse. Look at Tiger Woods. He left his swing coach. He moved to a different swing, and he went down and he got into a slump. But it made him better in the long run. The Williams sisters did not evolve. The rest of the field caught up and passed him because, you know, in my opinion, it wasn't these other things, the fashion or the movies or distractions. To me, it was the work ethic. You've got to continue to evolve as a player in this case, where you're working on your weakness and forcing your strengths.
And you've also got to make sure you choose the right kind of coach. Before we let you go, Gary McCord's going to come on here in a minute. I'm very interested in who you believe are the best coaches out there, not just because they have this, as Marv Levy would say, 700-page playbook, but because they understand and can see the one or two key ingredients in each player's game, that if they only improve them, that the whole game will come together.
Well, there's this guy on the tennis court right now is Brad Gilbert. He brought Andre Agassi back from the dumps to number one in the world, and Andy Roddick from a top 10 player to a number one player in the world. He's able to maximize a person's approach to the match. You know, look at strengths and weaknesses and look how you approach your opponent. Not just hit the ball, but play the game of tennis with strategies and tactics and spins and paces. Another great coach that I look up to is in basketball, Phil Jackson. He takes every individual and doesn't lump them all into one team. He looks at every single one and brings out their strengths and works on their weaknesses. And I think those are the coaches that work in the modern game today with the modern athlete. You take what they do well and work on their weaknesses.
Well, joining us is Gary McCord. Gary, thanks for joining us.
Heck, how you doing?
Doing great. Before we say goodbye to Luke, I thought I'd introduce you to, and I thought it was an interesting subject, that so many coaches in golf and tennis, and indeed in football, overcoach.
Well, that's a tendency of the nature of that beast, I think. You know, most of them are either getting paid or are trying to upgrade, so they want to make their case known, and they have a tendency to do that. A lot of the good ones don't, though, so you know, you've got to find the right one.
When we come back, we're going to go into golf, get an update with golf from Gary McCord, one of the most entertaining, bright guys covering golf for CBS. And we want to thank Lexus and ESPN's Luke Jensen for bringing home the key things happening in tennis today. Thanks, Luke.
Thanks, Nick.
Bless you, buddy. Be safe. You're listening to Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122. We'll be right back with Gary McCord in just a second.